Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Very pleasant good afternoon, Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us on Facebook. Give us a like. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. Our website, stevejonesshow.com. If you miss any of our live shows ever on WKOK, you can subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. It's available on both the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, Google Play, where you get your podcasts. Just search Steve Jones Show. And once our shows air live, we can drop them right to your smartphone and tablet. You can listen to them anytime, anywhere. And we also have 3 months of shows always archived at stevejonesshow.com. Of course, our show brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Steve will be in the Sunbury Motors studio in just a second. We'll be talking Philly sports, get a recap of that Eagles game with Matt Leon from News Radio 1060 KYW in Philadelphia. Matt will check in, and also we'll have our weekly NFL Pittsburgh Steelers conversation with Neil Coulong from USA Today and the NFL Wire, senior editor of the NFL Wire. So we'll get Neil's take on the Steelers' late victory in the fourth quarter. That great touchdown pass from Ben to AB over the Cincinnati Bengals. Now the Steelers in the bye week with a record of 3-2-1. So we'll have that for you later on this afternoon here. We'll have those guests for you later on this afternoon here with Steve between now and 5 on WKOK. Also, we got a couple of baseball games to look forward to. Not one, but two Major League Baseball games today. Right out of the gate, just after 5 this afternoon, it'll be Game 3 of the ALCS between the Red Sox and Astros. Nathan Eovaldi will be on the mound for Boston. But earlier this year, he was with Tampa Bay, and it was back in June the 20th, and it was a game between Tampa Bay and the Astros in Minute Maid Park, when Alex Bregman was one of three Houston Astros batters to homer in succession off of Eovaldi. So Eovaldi looking for a little karma, a little revenge tonight, not only against those three, but also the remaining Red Sox. So, but his primary focus is elsewhere, and he says between that day, June 20th, and now, he's a completely different pitcher. I'm attacking it a lot differently. By the way, those other two, other than Alex Bregman that hit those home runs, George Springer and Jose Altuve, sandwiched solo home runs around that Bregman dinger in the sixth inning of that Astros 5-1 victory back on June the 20th. Dallas Keuchel will be on the bump for the Astros tonight. He will oppose Eovaldi. Keuchel with 7 days of rest since his start in Game 3 of the Divisional Series against Cleveland. Keuchel has scuffled in his career against the Red Sox. He is 0-1 with an ERA of over 9.
Yeah, he scuffled against the Spikes, too, so what the heck.
Yeah.
he's a scuffler.
Yeah. And then tonight after 9, you've got Brewers-Dodgers. How about Milwaukee looking to take a commanding 3-1 lead in that series tonight?
Well, down the stretch, they were the better team. I mean, so it's not like, hey, the Brewers are the number one seed for a reason. They've got home field for a reason. They had the better regular season. So, I mean, they're good, too. Brewers are good. Interesting, they used Hader last night for two batters. And he destroyed those two. It's like, I can't imagine they have any confidence left after that. But, yeah. That was impressive. And what they did was, look, they rolled the dice last night that he would, that Jeffress would come in and Jeffress would do a heck of a job. Okay. Well, Jeffress hung on last night, but sort of in his own special way made it pay off. Oh, my goodness. That was a little different. But the idea was they have not used Hader one time this year. Not one time this year have they used him three consecutive games. Well, by using him for two batters last night, it might open the door for them to use him in three consecutive games. Just a thought.
Yeah, tonight's pitchers are going to be Rich Hill for the Dodgers and Gio Gonzalez for Milwaukee. So that'll be interesting.
Gio Gonzalez went two innings.
Yeah.
He went two innings in the opener. Yeah, they did a whole bullpen thing the first time. He went two innings, and they're trying to explain it to him in the dugout. Take my word. If I'm Gio Gonzalez, I want them to explain it to me in the dugout, too. I'd be like, okay, now wait a minute. What?
Craig, you're going to do what? Huh?
I can't. You're in charge here. You're not really the guy I worked with my whole life. All right, so. Wow. Yeah.
Dodgers 4-11 all time when trailing 2-1 in a 7-game series.
Well, we'd give you what the Brewers' numbers were, but the Brewers aren't in the playoffs that often like the Dodgers are, so. Oh, man. Yeah. All right, that's coming up tonight. Let me get to something right out of the gate here. Something I'm really angry about. Let's talk about the suit. No, I'm just going to... I'm furious. I want to get into, just briefly, into this great versus elite deal. Whenever you put yourself out there like that, you are then, of course, going to be susceptible to that fine line where if things don't go well, then you're going to get ridiculed for it. And so, of course, Penn State loses the game. Now you've got people saying, well, he's done a great job of taking him from great to good. Okay. Right. Adorable opening line. That's fine. But I'd rather have somebody with the attitude that I can make something great and that I can make something elite and I'm going to do everything I can to get there. I'd rather have that and somebody that's very open about it, because I think being open about it inspires confidence in everybody that that is what you want to do. Now, you know, you have to get there. You have to get there. At Michigan State, Nick Saban could not get there. Couldn't. Nick Saban's teams at Michigan State were good. They were not great. And they were far from elite. At LSU, where he had more leeway recruiting-wise, he got to great. And at Alabama, obviously, he is elite. With the Dolphins, he was not elite. You know, everything depends on the situation you're in. What he is saying here is that you have everything in place to be elite. They've made improvements here. There's no question about that. But I'd rather have somebody that steps up and puts it out there and says, this is what I want. Now, eventually, of course, you've got to back that up, and there is a process to get there. The worst thing that you can do in your process, and this process that Penn State has been in, has brought them to a 24-5 record their last 29 games. Now, if we're standing in the parking lot at Everbank Stadium at the Gator Bowl after the Georgia game, and I tell you the next 2.5 years Penn State's going to be 24-5, okay, what's your reaction going to be? And those five losses are by a total of 12 points. Now, the five losses by 12 points and how they happened are maddening. Okay, they are maddening. You want to be able to put
to use a boxing analogy, if you want to put somebody on the ropes, you want to belt them with a series of haymakers and knock them out. Okay, in those five games, Penn State was able to get a team on the ropes, but then they let them off the ropes. Right, they've got to figure out a way. What once they get a team on the ropes, and these are all good teams, by the way. They're all good teams. You want to get them on the ropes. You want to be able to finish the job, throw the big left hook, and knock them out. So now how do you go about doing that? Now, if I have all those answers, then I'm not sitting here. I'm sitting in Lash right now. Okay? I'm sitting in Lash right now. Okay? That's what you've got to do. Chris, how are you doing today? Great to hear from you.
Thanks for taking my call, but it's Chas, C-H-A-S.
Oh, I'm sorry, I read the screen wrong. That's not Sean's fault, that's my fault.
That's not a problem. I was anxious to hear about the coach's press conference today. I missed it. I didn't know if you could highlight, you know, his thoughts from Saturday's game or not.
Well, I can give you a summary of it. Summary, of course, is that he was asked about Trace McSorley in the running game, and he said that one of the keys to Penn State's running game with the quarterback is the ability to hit deep shots down the field. Penn State didn't hit any deep shots down the field, which then the domino was that he could not run the ball as effectively. That was one thing he talked about. He said that he didn't think they were tired at the end of the game because they played more people in the game. Fred Hansard is out for the season. He expects Damian Barber to step up and is going to see a few more reps to fill that gap in the defensive front, but it also means that P.J. Mustipher is going to have to play more. He was asked about, let's see, I'm trying to think a couple of other areas. Obviously, he talked about Indiana, too. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. He was asked about the coaching staff, and he said that he feels really good about his coaching staff short-term, but more importantly, he feels really great about them long-term. So I think that summarizes Chas off the top of my head, some of the things he talked about today.
Well, good. Those are good comments, Coach. Obviously, you know, I'm a Penn State fan. I hate to see them lose these five games that you talked about by 12 points. I really think they shot themselves in the foot here against Michigan with penalties and not... not making a couple of plays they had a chance to make.
You are so right. You're spot on.
You know, the offense was stuttering, but they still had, you know, they had their opportunities to win this game, you know, and shot themselves in the foot. Sorry to see that. You know, I hope they can come back strong. Yeah, because I hope that, you know, they finish the season really positive. Because these guys, hey, they play hard. They come every day to play. I would hope that the coaching staff, you know, in my mind, I'd like to see them come up with... I was very discouraged when they lost to Ohio State. They punted the ball. Ohio State had to go 95 or 96 yards, and Penn State couldn't do a thing to stop them. That was discouraging to me. Appreciate you taking my call. Love your show.
Oh, thank you, Chas. That means a lot. Thank you very much.
I enjoy the show tremendously.
Thank you. Well, your comments are spot on here. Let me go inside one that you brought up that I think is really important. You mentioned the penalties. After the second week of the season, Penn State was number one in the nation in fewest penalties. They had 6 called against them and accepted, which is an average of 3 per game. That's about where Penn State should be, 3 to 4 per game. But you know what? In the last 4 games, they're averaging 7.5 per game. That's got to be cut down not quite in half, but close to being in half. And that's those are the unforced errors that really hurt you in a game.
Oh, no question. I mean, those. My memory's not perfect, but I know there were. I'm pretty sure there were minimum two penalties that continued Michigan drives.
Yes, you were absolutely
right. At least two that continued Michigan drives when Penn State actually, had them stopped.
Actually, it was three.
Okay, because remember, might have been three with the goal line stand.
The goal line stand. They got a fresh set of downs. The call on Brown, Cam Brown. I can see why they called it. It looked like a hook. Okay. I understand it. That kept the drive wide. The call on Windsor is a horrible call. There's
that was
no
getting. And the inside lineman.
Yes.
That the one. Oh, that yeah. was.
That,
to me, I don't see how any official can make that call. But
that's a horrible call. We even looked at the replay. Like, we have no idea. Like, and look, I'm being fair here. Was the call on the goal line good? Yes. Was the call on the open field acceptable? Yep. Doesn't mean they're perfect. I can tell you right now, they messed up on that one.
Okay. But penalties, really hurt the last couple of games.
No question.
But these are things that the guys, the players and the coaches, they can improve upon.
Yep.
They can look back, put that behind them and say, hey, we're going to do better.
Okay. Yep. They've got to do that, and they've got to do that starting this week because they're going to face a good team this week.
Nobody's easy, I don't think, in the Big Ten.
I agree with you, Chaz. You are right about that. Nobody is.
I don't think anybody's easy. But, again, I enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work, and thank you for taking my call.
Chaz, thanks so much. The words mean a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
We will come back with more in a moment. On the round table Thursday, do we have a commitment yet?
We do.
It's going to be the chief, isn't it?
I haven't heard from chief yet.
Greg Wetzel will be here.
No brainer.
Zach Showers will be here.
Slam dunk on the line, sure.
Do we have to get a hat to draw who gets the Shikellamy straw? Or?
Sometimes I get news out of the blue 1 or 2 hours prior to airtime, like last week. So
must be tough being such a busy guy. I mean, you and I lead such stoic, staid lives.
Do we? Yeah. Maybe we do compared to him. You're right.
I mean, well, that's what happens when you're running from the law. All right, we'll come back with more. I'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You know, I'd rather have somebody set the bar high and work hard to get there than to... You could be realistic about expectations, too. I did a lot of speaking engagements this summer, and I said, I expected the team to be really good. Okay. I'm also one that is always willing to sit here and say, look, let's see how the last half of the season pans out to see
how it plays out. But, you know, it's the second straight year I've said, you know, in no uncertain terms that Penn State was in a position where every single week they were playing was like a playoff game. Now, would I go back and change that as to what I told everybody in the summer? No. Because to me, that's true. Well, now you got to readjust. Readjust means get as many down the stretch as you can. I mean, that's how you have to readjust. All right, we're going to get to Matt Leon in a few moments, talk about the Eagles, and then we'll get to Neil Coulong next half hour to talk about the Steelers. First this day in sports history, 1946, Gordie Howe of the Red Wings played his first NHL game. 1960, the National League in Baseball voted to admit Houston and New York to the league. It was the first structural change for the National League since 1900. Of course, you know, they really wanted a team back in New York again because both the Dodgers and the Giants had left for the West Coast. So the Mets were the ones that filled the void there. They needed a second team to balance the league, so they got Houston. Let's see. Also on this date, Roy Tarpley of the Mavericks became the seventh player to be banned from the NBA for life under the league's anti-drug agreement. This was on this date in 1991. In 1992, Magic Johnson played his first professional game since coming out of retirement. By the way, that didn't last long. And in 2003, a pair of NHL games ended in scoreless ties for the first time since December 30th, 1934. The Atlanta Thrashers and the New York Rangers and the San Jose Sharks and the Philadelphia Flyers ended in scoreless ties. The Thrashers are, of course, now the Winnipeg Jets. All right, that is this day in sports history. Now let's get to the Eagles and get with Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Matt, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Good to be with you.
That game on Thursday, no offense, looked easy.
Oh, it absolutely did. Giants have more issues than Vogue. I mean, they're really, they've got a lot of problems.
Did you? And I mean, did you practice that all day? It's, that was good.
No, it just came to me. I didn't make the lineup. I stole it from somebody else, but it worked.
This is a moment, man. Okay.
Yeah. But to their credit, Eagles took advantage. Yeah. They didn't. They came out, and I think everybody took a big exhale after that game because that was, I think, the complete type of performance people have expected out of the Eagles, and really, frankly, hadn't had until Thursday night.
Sometimes you just need a game like that to gain confidence. Are you, how important will this next one be to then show that that is the case?
It will be important because they're going to play a Carolina team on Sunday that's coming off a loss to the Redskins yesterday on the road.
Yep.
It's a big game in the conference, and I think kind of to your point, if they play well and can find a way to win Sunday, I think people feel like the train's starting to move again. And, you know, if they come out and they struggle and they get off to another slow start and, they lose that game or whatever, then I think all of a sudden people look at that Giants as a game as a one-off and right. more an indictment of New York than it is anything that the Eagles did. So I think this one is big. I would be surprised if the Eagles don't answer the bell. Because of that locker room and they're getting healthy and everything, but we'll have to wait and see.
Now let me follow up on the getting healthy part because, that's one thing about playing on Thursday night. That's not easy, but once you're done, you don't play until the next Sunday.
No, absolutely. And the one guy you're keeping an eye on is Jason Peters.
Yes.
Who
did not have a good game, by the way. I thought Olivier Vernon actually kind of had his way with him.
Yeah, and he has a biceps injury. We'll see. You know, Jason Peters has a way of being able to come back, and it sounds like I am obviously no doctor, but usually you hear a biceps and you think that's season ending. Apparently what Peters has is something you can play with. It's just a matter of getting it to a certain point where you can deal with it. So we'll have to wait and see with that. And also, Sidney Jones has a hamstring issue that when Doug Peterson the day after said week to week, and usually when Doug says a guy's week to week, that means they expect him to miss at least a game. So that'll hurt the depth in the secondary. But frankly, this is a Panthers receivers group that the Eagles should be able to handle a little shorthanded this week.
No, I agree with that. What about Lane Johnson?
He fought through that game on the bad ankle, played pretty well. I think he is probably at the top of the list of guys who will really benefit from the long week here and the extra time off. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he doesn't go Wednesday or is limited Wednesday and Thursday, stuff like that. But he was able to fight through the game against the Giants. And if you can fight through that game and then get a few extra days off, you got to feel pretty good about where he is.
And talk about feeling pretty good about where he is. What do you think about Carson Wentz and where he is? You know, because it's not only a question of shaking off the injury, but he had to shake off some rust. I mean, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, no, I think he is back up to speed of the game. I think one of the impressive things about him is, for the most part, since he's come back, there hasn't been any moments where you've looked at him and gone, oh, boy, you know, is he ever going to be, you know, he's looked pretty much up to speed. I think the first game he came back against the Colts, there were some decisions that were a little questionable, and you could just kind of chalk them up to, well, he hasn't played, at this pace, at this speed for 10 months or whatever. I thought against the Giants, he did a great job. It was probably the best game we saw him as far as buying time in the pocket. And one of the best throws he's made this season was the first touchdown to Alshon Jeffrey when he rolled out to his right, threw across his body, and threw a dart, into okay coverage with a bunch of Giants in the area. And I think that was the play that kind of let you know, okay, it's going to be a good night.
What has Jeffrey's return meant?
It's meant a lot. He's had a 100-yard game the first game. Wasn't much of a factor against the Vikings. I think that was more a factor of just how that game played out, that the Eagles didn't run a lot of plays early because they got off to a slow start. And then, he was 7 for whatever it was, 84, 2 touchdowns against the Giants. Probably could have caught 15 balls if they needed him to.
Sure.
But he's big. He's like getting a number one. I've always noticed him. It's amazing in baseball when a team gets a number one starting pitcher, how all of a sudden the rest of the rotation makes so much more sense.
That's right.
Because you got guys that slot in where you feel like they're where they should be. It's the same thing with him. You've got him at the top. All of a sudden, take some of the pressure off Nelson Agholor, and things just make more sense down the road. So he's big. I mean, his catch radius, his size, he's a big red zone target. Getting him back has been a big, big deal here the last few games.
What did you think of Barkley?
Oh, he's phenomenal. I thought the screen. Now, the cut he made on the 50-yard run was just absurd.
Phenomenal,
at the line
of
scrimmage there, the jump cut. I thought on one of his big pass catching runs, it might have been the screen pass. I don't want to take too much from. I thought the Eagles had some awful tackling attempts on him, where he was able to run through three or four arm guys trying to arm tackle or trying to bounce off him, and that's not going to get it done. But what does it say about the state of the Giants when Barkley goes for 229 yards on 21 touches, and they only scored 13 points? That shows how far behind the rest of that team is. And my only concern with Barkley, and I know the NFL is a year-to-year league, and it's easy to go up and get better, but you just worry that a lot of his NFL tread is going to be wasted on some bad Giants teams while they try to figure things out and they try to figure out the quarterback position.
Right. Moving up, mentioned Carolina coming up. I got to ask you about Penn. How are they doing right now?
4-1. Last couple weeks have been Mr. Toad's wild ride, but they've found a way. Beat Columbia this past week, 13-10. Got a game-sealing interception to win it. So 4-1, 1-1 in the Ivy League in a short week. Yale comes in on Friday.
All right. Hey, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, Matt Lee on KYW in Philadelphia. Next half hour, we'll flip from the Eagles to the Steelers with Neil Coulong as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. To have you with us on the show today on this Tuesday. Beautiful day today. Beautiful fall day. Looks like we've ditched the warmer weather for a while. We're going to get into these cool fall nights. All right, so we got high school football coming up, too, on Friday.
Crazy, we're up to week 9 already.
Will they play 10?
Yes.
So, okay, so where does everybody stand with the playoffs right now?
I'm going to freely admit
I have no clue. So.
It's going to be crazy. AAA is kind of jumbled because you're going to take the top eight teams in AAA to advance into districts, which will start on, I almost said Friday, November the 2nd, but we had heard that all of the AAA, and this will probably knock quite a few people for a loop, including our very own Greg Wetzel. Turns out all of the AAA district playoff games, they're going to play them on Saturday. Will be Saturday. The first round games will be Saturday games. The quad A games.
Is that Saturday, November 3rd?
That would be the 3rd, correct. Yeah. Okay. Yep. First round of those AAA games will be played that Saturday. The quad A games will be the night before on Friday the 2nd. And we had heard that over the weekend. So that may pose some concern for, you know, people that they're backers of Lewisburg, Central Columbia, Loyal Sauk, Shamokin. Those matchups will be played on Saturday the 3rd.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting.
So Lewisburg is going to make it, right?
Absolutely. Yes, Lewisburg will make it for sure. It's just going to be interesting to see how things are going to be. Actually, they got Central Columbia on Friday night. There'll be a lot of points scored in that game on Friday night. That'll be really interesting to get Greg's take on that on the roundtable on Thursday. Right now, for Quad A, you're going to take four of the five teams there. You do have the potential for a Shikellamy-Sewens Grove first-round game in Quad A. So the other matchup then would be Midwest-Jersey Shore. So we'll just see how...
Shikellamy's won one game?
That's correct.
They're going to be in the playoffs?
That's correct. There's only five teams in District 4 Quad A. The fifth team is Columbia Montour Votech. The thing is, though, Votech plays a lot of teams that are Class Single A, so they don't get a lot of points for victories, you know, to increase them in the power rankings. So, yeah, believe it or not, Schick may get in a District 4 Quad A semifinal game, since there's only five teams in District 4 Quad A.
Okay. No offense from the outside looking in.
I know where you're going with this.
I mean, you should win a game.
Yeah.
Then you should be 500.
Speaking of Columbia Montour Votech, they're actually playing today. They're playing Bucktail today.
I'm not trying to be an idiot here, be a jerk, whatever.
I'm sorry,
but a team that hasn't won a game, I mean, you're telling me they deserve to play a playoff game?
Well, they did beat Central Mountains. They have one win.
Oh, they have one win.
They've got
Well, now I feel better.
1-7.
Wow. There's something wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine if Columbia Montour Votech had a stronger schedule and if they'd have a few more wins, Shikellamy will be dead last in District 4 Quad A.
Well, how many wins do they have?
I think Votech may only have one win or two. I think they may only have one win, but it was against a single A team.
I think they ought to have two meet three and have one get a bye. Yeah, to me, I think there's certain things you need to do to qualify to be in the playoff. In other words, if you say you get hot, okay, and you're a 1-9 team, okay? You'd be 1-9, right? That's the worst they could be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly you get hot and you win the district. Now you're in the states because you won the district,
right?
You'd be 3-9. I'm sorry, that's just not how life works. Life doesn't work that way. That's just me.
Actually, here we go. Jersey Shore, 4-4. Sewens Grove's 4-4. Midwest is 3-4. Shikellamy, 1-7. And Columbia Montour Votech, they are 2-6. But because of Columbia Montour Votech's schedule, their power rankings are lower than Shikellamy. Right now, Jersey Shore, they have a power ranking of 534. Sewens Grove, 506. Midwest, 394. Shikellamy, 312. And Columbia Montour Votech, 258. It's a new power ranking system that they have set up this year for districts. Now in AAA, Danville, 7-1. Montoursville is 6-2. Central Columbia and Lewisburg, they're now both at 5-3. Central is third, Lewisburg fourth in the power rankings. Not by much. Central Columbia currently at 527. Lewisburg's 517. And then you have three teams, 4-4. Shamokin, Loyal Sauk, and Athens. And then you have two teams that are 2-6, Warrior Run and Mifflinburg. But by 0.02 of a power ranking point, Warrior Run 313, Mifflinburg 311. So by 0.02 of a point, Warrior Run would be the eighth team in the playoffs.
I guess this is the equivalent of the Big Ten basketball tournament where everybody gets in and
you win,
you get an automatic bid.
Yeah, you got 11 teams in District 4 AAA. Mifflinburg, Milton, and Kawaneski Valley, 9, 10, and 11.
Wow.
So if the playoffs were to start today, Lewisburg-Shamokin would be an opening round matchup in District 4 AAA.
On a Saturday.
Yes. From what we were told, the District 4 AAA playoff games, at least for the first round, will be on a Saturday. I think that may have something to do. They want to have the best officials possible handling these games. I think the better option that they decided to go with was to have the AAA games on Saturday. So yeah, you're going to have some officials working double duty that weekend.
Okay. Well, to all the teams 500 and better, you earned it. Not easy to be 500 in high school football at all.